somehow, some way, it may not be immediately apparent, but somehow, some way, the increase in the flood of love of Krishna has happened. And if we're sincere, Krishna will show us our spot in the flood of love of Godhead. We just have to be sincere and pray very sincerely to the Lord without any personal motivation. I want position, I want honor, I want respect, I want fame, I want to assert myself. If we just pray submissively to Sri Sri Gaurantai, please show me my humble spot of service in your Sankirtan movement, Krishna will reveal it to you. Krishna wants at least 10 times as much as you, that you understand what you should do in Krishna consciousness. It's not like you're in a desperate situation in which only you have this desire to serve Krishna and Krishna is not giving any help at all. No, Krishna wants much more than you, that you understand the particular service you're meant to do and how you're meant to do it. If we're patient and humble, Krishna will reveal it. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand. We want to do something. I want to do this for Krishna. Sometimes Krishna accepts that, but sometimes not. It depends. There's no laws in love. What Krishna will accept from one devotee, sometimes he won't accept from another devotee. So you may look around and wonder, how come that devotee looks happy and that devotee is doing whatever he or she wants? And Krishna knows this is all for Krishna. Why can't I do what I want for Krishna? There's no law to love. Krishna wants different things from different devotees because we're all at different places in our development in Krishna consciousness. Although ultimately, of course, Krishna says, just surrender to me. But patients are at different levels in the medical treatment. So Krishna has different immediate, so to speak, desires for each devotee. So it's sometimes hard for you to judge and compare. That devotee does whatever he or she wants. They seem to be happy. Why can't I do that? I used to think like this when I was a Sankirtan devotee. I was sent out to do full-time Sankirtan after 3 weeks in Krishna consciousness. And I used to always lament like that. Why can't I have a service in the temple, counting the Lakshmi or something like that? So when the Maha comes off the altar, I'll be right there. Because all the temple service devotees always have their fill or Maha. And those who are out on full-time Sankirtan, you know, we didn't get these luxuries. So then finally, I just began to pray to Krishna. What is your desire for me? Let me try to understand that. And then things began to become a bit different. Now let us hear Lord Chaitanya's order. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. Omishila Prabhupada's purport. The Krishna consciousness movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya is extremely important because one who takes to it becomes eternal, being freed from birth, death, and old age. People do not recognize that the real distresses in life are the four principles of birth, death, old age, and disease. They are so foolish that they resign themselves to these four miseries, not knowing the transcendental remedy of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from all misery. But because they are enchanted by the illusory energy, people do not take this movement seriously. Therefore, those who are actually servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must seriously distribute this movement all over the world to render the greatest benefit to human society. Of course, animals and other lower species are not capable of understanding this movement, but if even a small number of human beings take it seriously, then by their chanting loudly, all living entities, including even trees, animals, and other lower species, will be benefited. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Haridas Thakur how he was to benefit living entities other than humans, Srila Haridas Thakur replied that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so potent that if it is chanted loudly, everyone will benefit, including the lower species of life. We hear this point again and again about the four miseries, birth, death, old age, and disease. I wonder, how real is that to all of you? How many of you really try to focus your intelligence upon this point that birth, death, disease, and old age are not necessary? Do you see how life is lived? People accept that, yes, birth happens, old age happens, disease happens, death happens. It's all part of life, and so you just accept it, and you try to enjoy as best you can amidst those things. Do you see how the social enculturation and the family tradition, if there is a family in these days, how it just instills that idea in you that birth, death, disease, and old age are just part of life? In Krishna consciousness, we don't accept that. We say that birth, death, disease, and old age are actually a disease, and you can be cured of it. So, the vision of a devotee and the vision of a non-devotee are completely different. And yes, this does cause problems. Krishna doesn't cover that up. It's like sometimes you all speak to your family members, mother, father, sisters. Talking with one devotee at when I was serving, watching the serving of prasad at Govinda's, and I said, "What do your old friends think when they come in here and see you behind the counter?" So there is a problem, and Krishna doesn't cover this up in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very frank. He says, "Sorry, but what is night for the materialist is day for the spiritualist, and vice versa. What is night for the spiritualist is day for the materialist. There's just going to be this kind of thing. And you have to get used to that. They're just completely two different goals and two different modes of living, two different lifestyles. And there has been an eternal disagreement between the two groups." Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita. Dvabhutasarva lokesmin daiva astraya vacha. Since the beginning of the cosmic manifestation, there are two classes, the divine and the demoniac. That's just the way it is. So one has to be a bit practical about understanding this world and your place in it. And try to see that certain things do not allow any compromise. You're dealing with two different groups. There's not much that can be done about that. As devotees, we don't go out of our way to disturb anyone. Nevertheless, the fact is, there are just two different groups. Just like in New Zealand politics, you generally have the National Party and the Labour Party. So, in the cosmic manifestation, you have the devotees and the non-devotees. That's just the way it is. You have to get used to that. We know that birth, death, disease, and old age can be cured. Those who are materialists think, you're dreaming, there's no future life, there was no previous life. Or you can be a bit new agey, yes, I'll have a future life, and it'll be just whatever the universe gives me for evolving, I'll accept that, and we're all moving towards perfection. You can be sentimental like that, but the laws of nature are operating. The only thing that will save people from a horrible fate is if they approach a devotee of the Lord, or the devotee approaches them. That's why I always remember Srila Prabhupada speaking in Melbourne, Australia. He explained that if someone just takes one of his books in the hand, the Sankirtan devotee, or devotee of the temple, or devotee at work or at home, places a book, Srila Prabhupada's book, in their hand, and the person just looks and says, oh, this is nice, interesting, looks very good. Sorry, just not right now, I cannot take it. But just that appreciation, that momentary appreciation, is enough to give them a human birth in their next life. That's how powerful the distribution of the fruits of love of God is. That's how powerful. The power that's there. So we should always remember, the more we give Krishna to others, the more we'll have Krishna for ourselves. Every devotee can be a distributor of the fruits of love of Krishna, according to your capacity. And if you are sincere, Krishna will increase your capacity. Don't worry. You don't have to go through contortions and stand on your head, oh, when will my chance come? Just qualify yourself. That's another point. I remember, after I became physically ill, after about 2 years of full-time Sankirtan, 7 days a week, body broke down, and by that time I was just loving Sankirtan. I just knew, I do this every day of my life, I'll go back to God in your room. So I had my plans all set. But Krishna had his plans. So then the body started getting sick, and I was so brokenhearted, oh no. What am I going to do? I can't distribute the fruits of love of God anymore. So, then I was working for the BBT on Prabhupada's books, which is exactly what was needed at the time. And I remember for 3 years, I would just pray to the deities, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda in Los Angeles, when will I be able to go out and preach? And so, after a while, things dawned on me. Why don't you use this time to qualify yourself to preach? Study Srila Prabhupada's books. You had that opportunity now. Srila Prabhupada instructed in so many letters. If you want to preach, cram my purports into your head. Repeat them, and then gradually your own style will develop. So I began to think, why am I always whining and whimpering, oh Krishna, when can I preach? When can I take up something to please Srila Prabhupada? When will my chance come? Everybody else gets a chance. Finally, I began to realize, you know, don't be a nutcase. Just use this time to prepare, and then when Krishna wants to make use of you, he'll make use of you. So I did that. Now, looking back, I'm so glad I finally wised up and did that. When the right time came, things happened. So, for several years, I just studied Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. Because I had read a letter from Srila Prabhupada where he said, if you just learn Srimad Bhagavatam, you can go anywhere in the world and people will listen respectfully. So I said, all right, I'll let you do that. I remember being in my office at the BBT and the Sankirtan devotees, they would come by, coming back from the airport where they were distributing books, and they would be full of ecstasy and like that. Of course, later I found out they were thinking, why can't we have your service? Why can't we be at the BBT working on Prabhupada's books all day? And this is how it works, you know. Whatever somebody else is doing, that's better. That's where the mercy is. So, but I didn't know that then. So, And I was just thinking to see there on the front lines getting all the mercy when all my fans come. Then, before, and amazingly out of the clear, all of a sudden, I found myself underground in Eastern Europe. Of course, then my complaining changed. Oh, Krishna, why am I here? This is too much. So, it shows you that it's best we just pray to Krishna, let me do what you want me to do, let me use my time properly to prepare, and you'll show me how I can be of some humble service. Rather than kind of, you know, shake the ground and do somersaults and cry and moan and all these kind of things. Much more productive and sane just to know that if you prepare yourself and qualify yourself in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will certainly find a spot for you. It just may not be what you think you should do. But that's always the problem. We always know best. I know me. I know what I should be doing. Best to come before Shishi Gornatai and pray, you show me what to do. And if we have time in which we think we're not fully engaged according to our capacities, use that time to prepare, because it's guaranteed the day will come when you will be called on, because there's unlimited room for preaching and teaching Krishna consciousness. It's just we have to become qualified. Krishna is the controller. Krishna knows when it's time to call your number. So we want to be ready for that. All right, you chant for 5 minutes.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. Purport. This prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now actually coming to pass. The Krishna consciousness movement is being distributed all over the world through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And people who were leading confused, chaotic lives are now feeling transcendental happiness. They are finding peace in Sankirtan, and therefore they are acknowledging the supreme benefit of this movement. This is the blessing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His prediction is now factually being fulfilled, and those who are sober and conscientious are appreciating the value of this great movement. So just think about that. People who were leading confused, chaotic lives. I know that's none of us here. Confused, chaotic lives. That's a very appropriate phrase. Are now feeling transcendental happiness. They are finding peace in Sankirtan. Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya continues to speak. I am merely a gardener. I have neither a kingdom nor very great riches. I simply have some fruits and flowers that I wish to utilize to achieve piety in my life. This is an important statement because it shows that in order to distribute Krishna consciousness, you don't have to have enormous material resources. A gardener is not a rich occupation to be a gardener. Yet, Lord Chaitanya is saying that although I'm just a gardener, I don't have a kingdom, no very great riches, I have these fruits and flowers. He's showing that anyone can distribute Krishna consciousness regardless of their material situation. Purport. In performing welfare activities for human society, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presents himself as being not very rich, thus indicating that a man need not be rich or opulent to act for the welfare of humanity. Sometimes rich men are very proud, that they can perform beneficial activities for human society, whereas others cannot. A practical example is that when there is scarcity of food in India on account of meager rainfall, some members of the richer class very proudly distribute foodstuffs, making huge arrangements with the help of the government, as if merely by such activities people will be benefited. Suppose there was no food grain. How would the rich man distribute food? Production of grain is completely in the hands of God. If there were no rain, there would be no grain, and these so-called rich men would be unable to distribute grain to the people. The real purpose of life, therefore, is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in his book, Dear Swamiji Sindhu, that devotional service is so exalted that it is beneficial and auspicious for everyone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also declared that to propagate the bhakti cult of devotional service in human society, one need not be very rich. Anyone who knows the art can do it and thus render the highest benefit to humanity. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the part of a gardener because although a gardener is naturally not a very rich man, he has some fruits and flowers. Any man can collect some fruits and flowers and satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, as the Lord recommends in the Bhagavad Gita. Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakta Prayashtati Taraham Bhakti Pahitam Ashimami Prayatatmana. Now Lord Chaitanya is going to show that he's always thinking how to increase his service to everyone. So here he says, although I'm acting as a gardener, I also want to be the tree, for thus I can bestow benefit upon all. In this way we see how to think in bhakti yoga. Lord Chaitanya is meditating. How can I do more? As a gardener, I'm watering this tree and growing the fruits of love of God. Why can't I also become the tree? Because the tree is so merciful. The tree is everything it has for others. Its bark, its wood, its sap, its leaves, its branches, its roots, its shade, everything the tree gives for the benefit of others. The Lord Chaitanya says, I also want to be the tree, not just the gardener. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most benevolent personality in human society because his only desire is to make people happy. His Sankirtan movement is especially meant for the purpose of making people happy. He wanted to become the tree himself, because a tree is said to be the most benevolent living entity. In the following verse, which is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna himself highly praises the existence of a tree. This verse is quoted by Krishna when he was in the forest with the cowherd boys. And the forest of Vrindavan was nicely shielding Krishna and his cowherd boys from the sun. And so Krishna used the trees as an example to point out how one should devote everything that one has for the benefit of others. Ahoesham varam janma sagapanupajivanam sujanasvivayeshambhai Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of great personalities. For anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The descendants of the tree, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. What is that order? To distribute the fruits of love of God everywhere throughout the world. So, Lord Chaitanya says he wants to be the tree, the most benevolent living entity. And we are descendants of the tree. That means we're very happy to get this order to distribute the fruits of the love of God everywhere. Purport. It is the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the benevolent activities of the Sankirtan movement, which was inaugurated 500 years ago at Navadvipa, be spread all over the world for the benefit of all human beings. Unfortunately, there are many so-called followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are satisfied simply to construct a temple, make a show of the deities, collect some funds, and utilize them for eating and sleeping. There is no question that they're preaching the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. But even though they aren't able to do so, if anyone else does it, they become envious. This is the condition of the modern followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The age of Kali is so strong that it affects even the so-called followers of Lord Chaitanya. So Srila Prabhupada is making a comment about various realities. At that time, this was the situation just in India. Now, as Krishna consciousness spreads over the world, the same thing can also happen, where there's a temple, the deities are there, some funds are collected to maintain the deities, and no preaching is going on. So, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out the age of Kali is so strong that it can even interfere with the followers of Lord Chaitanya. So-called followers, guys. The Kali Yuga is so strong that it affects even the so-called followers of Lord Chaitanya. In other words, we always want to be active in being merciful to others. Then there's life. If we're always thinking how to distribute the fruits of love of Krishna to others, then that is the proper utilization of our existence as devotees. But this is the order of Lord Chaitanya. Not that we become ritualistic devotees, religious believers, but that we're active devotees who reach out to others, who care for others, so that they can taste the fruits of love of Krishna. And what about those fruits? The fruit of love of God is so delicious that wherever a devotee distributes it, those who relish the fruit anywhere in the world immediately become intoxicated. You see? We have intoxication in Krishna consciousness. Everything is there. Purport. Hear the wonderful fruit of love of Godhead distributed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described. We have practical experience that anyone who accepts this fruit and sincerely tastes it immediately becomes mad after it and gives up all his bad habits, being intoxicated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift, the Hare Krishna Mantra. The statements of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita are so practical that anyone can test them. As far as we are concerned, we are most confident of the success of the distribution of the great fruit of love of Godhead through the medium of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is such a great intoxicant that anyone who eats it, filling his belly, immediately becomes maddened by it. And automatically, he chants, dances, laughs, and enjoys. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing, and laughing, and that some of them are rolling on the floor, and some are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure. The great gardener, Lord Chaitanya, personally eats this fruit, and as a result, he constantly remains mad, as if helpless and bewildered. So we'll end there, and tomorrow we'll finish this section of the Desire Tree of Devotional Service, and we'll move on to some other nectar. Hare Krishna.
Om Krishna. Thank you.